Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, July 4th, 2022. Yes, today is Independence Day. I'm going to share my pet peeve that I've got out there on the show page as well, is I get so frustrated when people say Happy July 4th. I'm like, we're not celebrating July 4th, we're celebrating independence. So the idea to use the date is a way to marginalize and change the meaning of what the significance is. Because, sad fact, especially because of our lack of training, education, and history these days, most younger people think July 4th is a day to go have a barbecue, it's summer, we're going to have a party. And you say, do you know anything about Independence Day? Whatever. They don't appreciate what it is. So I make sure that I say Happy Independence Day to people. We're not celebrating a day on a calendar. We're celebrating Independence Day, the day we declared independence from the king, the United States of America, the 13 colonies kind of thing. So that's just a pet peeve of mine. So you'll see on the show page, repeat after me three times, Happy Independence Day, USA. Happy Independence Day, USA. Happy Independence Day, USA. We're celebrating Independence Day. We're not celebrating July 4th. And my joke with people has been like, well, if you go around saying Merry December 25th, okay, say Happy July 4th. But most people say Merry Christmas. They don't say Merry December 25th. So the date just marginalizes what it is, and which was all part of the plan, as far as I can see, with the craziness of what's happening with our country today. So, hello everyone, and Happy Independence Day for the USA in the year 2022, 246 years later. Let's see if we can keep it going for another 246 years. I'm not sure, but we'll give it a shot. Before I get started into all the main stuff, let me go ahead. I think the American Creed is more than appropriate for today. So I will start off with that and encourage people to join me. Definitely share this with your family and your kids, your grandkids, whatever. We need to share what America's history really is about and why we should protect it and defend it. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. This was written back in 1917, adopted by Congress in 1918. So that's what we should be thinking about today. This is what we're about. We should be celebrating independence. We should be celebrating this freedom. We should not allow others to divide us, to destroy us, because that's what they're doing. And we'll go over some of the quotes and things with some of the founding fathers and stuff. They were all aware of this. What is happening in our country today to destroy it is truly nothing new. Now, some of the tools, the gadgets, the means of which to do it, the technology and things like that has changed the means to do it, but the core element is the same. It's just not that different. But before we take a deep dive into the Declaration of Independence, which is what today is all about, a couple of other quick updates here. And we can talk a little bit about it, but today obviously the focus is the Declaration, Independence Day, why July 4th is supposed to be a special day for us and what we need to remember it for. The Title 42, the Supreme Court, this was the border security issue. Bad news from SCOTUS here, but I'm not too surprised with Kavanaugh. They said, yeah, we don't really need border security. Biden can go do what he feels like. He doesn't have to continue the thing with keeping them in Mexico and whatever. Border security isn't important to our Supreme Court. We don't think we need it, I guess, or they don't think we need it. So that was one win for the invasion of the United States of America, which is what is happening on the border. It's happening massively on the southern border, but that's not the only place, but it is happening massively there. We are being invaded, and at some point we the people will have to defend ourselves, and that's when we go back to that Second Amendment and the militias and the right to bear arms, and when we actually have the right. Do we have to wait until they totally destroy us before we defend ourselves? I don't think so. But anyway, so very bad news on that one with what the Supreme Court did there. However, there was some good news. The EPA, I'm not going to go into all the details of it because I'd have to actually pull the thing up and read it, but the bottom line for the EPA ruling is the EPA does not have the authority to make laws and to dictate. And this is very important because it's not just the EPA. The CDC, the Department of Education, I think you could even say the IRS, there are a variety of energy, whatever. There's Department of Energy. These are quasi-governmental agencies, unelected. And while these are the ones we're talking about at the federal level, the same thing goes all the way through to your local level, through your government. In Florida, I was in Orange County for many years. There's the, it was started out to be the Orlando-Orange County Expressway Authority. It's now called the Central Florida Expressway Authority, where four different counties all come together. Some of the people are elected to another position. Some are appointed. But the point is, it's not an elected board for a specific task. And these people go out there and decide how much they're going to charge on toll taxes and whatever else. And it's all a major impact on transportation and cost of transportation in Florida, which is something I'm going to be writing Governor DeSantis about here in the near future. But they're quasi-governmental agencies. They're given way too much power and authority. And when you go back to the federal level, Congress is the one who has failed here. It's like Congress is signing off on their obligations. They're the ones who are truly violating the law here because they say, oh, yeah, go ahead, let somebody else decide this stuff. They're not allowed to do that. It's a dereliction of their own duties there, a violation of their fiduciary duties to be representing us. It's their job to make laws, not all these various agencies. So that was a very good ruling. And we have to let that be the beginning of many of these rulings. These quasi-governmental agencies do not have the legal right or the constitutional right to make law. The president does not make law. It's supposed to be Congress. And due to totally poor education, as most of us know, many people don't understand this process. They don't understand why EPA... And it's really kind of like a shell game in a way, I guess. They go and create these different agencies, which I guess in some crazy way I'm trying. What was there a true good intent when they came up with this? Why did some go along with this? We need people who truly understand this. Not everybody's going to understand all the environmental impacts of things. Okay, you need the experts. Do you think we need more experts like Fauci? Because that's another one of those agencies. National Institute of Health, another one. Should they be making law? Because that's what they were being allowed to do. So why they do this because they think they need these experts, these professionals, but seem to know what they're talking about. And I'll go back to Fauci on that one. Have you really been convinced what he has told us has been proper, correct, accurate, in the best interest? Or were there games being played about money? How much of what Fauci said has all been because of him supporting the big pharma and his gain of function and all this other stuff? But again, it's a quasi-governmental agency that's given too much power. So the EPA ruling was really, really good, and we've got to let that move on to other agencies. We have got to shut down quasi-unelected governmental agencies that have no business making law. So that was good. And then let's see, there was another one, which I think we may have touched on it a little bit last week. I think it had just come out, where the football coach was allowed to pray after the game. I think there's probably still some dispute I'm trying to figure out with the if the kids want to go pray with the coach, are the kids allowed to go pray? As long as, you know, the coach has never asked them to or demanded they did, they ask if they could, and he suggests they could join him if they wanted to. And apparently that's been some of this problem. But it's a good day for allowing prayer to come back into this country, too, because that's been another big problem. And I think that's why we are in such when we talk about John Adams and some of the things he believed, what the problem in our country is today. We have a total decline of the culture of any kind of moral values. And killing is okay. And you can talk about the abortion issue, but look at what's happening and the crimes and stuff. And the culture, the moral culture of our country, our society is just dwindling down. And we have no, we're not united because we've been divided through public education primarily. Okay, and then the other is, as I was saying in the beginning, we are celebrating Independence Day. We're not celebrating July 4th. We're celebrating Independence Day, which happens to fall on July 4th. It's like Christmas falls on December 25th. Independence Day falls on July 4th. So please don't say Happy July 4th. Please say Happy Independence Day. Remember what we're celebrating. And help teach kids what we're celebrating, because most of them don't know these days anymore. And let's see, just a little bit of the history. The final draft was approved on July 4th. They were actually writing it on July 2nd. The very first draft that Thomas Jefferson did was back in June of 1776. And, of course, the Revolutionary War was 1775 through September of 1783. So there's a lot of stuff that was going around as we were declaring our independence and why. We're going to go over some of the declaration and what it really means. And I would really encourage people today, and, you know, I'm not sure how many people are going to be listening right now because many are probably out having a barbecue or doing something else, but maybe before the day is over, before the week is over, spend some time actually reading the Declaration, see what it means. And when you go over it, see how many things we seem to have reverted back to. I'm going to say, I think, do we have to have a Declaration of Independence from the current government to restore what we had here? Because it seems like so many of the things that we were fighting and challenging, revolting against, if you will, is the same thing today. Is Biden supposed to be a king or is it a dictator, or is he supposed to be the president? He's out there making laws all over the place, and it just seems like we are somewhere back where we were back in 1775, 1776, when we were declaring this independence. It just seems like we've lost our way. And when we go over some of the stuff in the Declaration, we'll discuss that. And then let's see. The other thing real quick here is I had to go ahead and share this one. This was one of the jokes. I'll call it a joke. It was, okay, I better not have lost that. It was one of John Adams' quotes. Okay, here we go. John Adams was the attorney, a graduate of Harvard and all this stuff, and the Massachusetts bar or whatever. But anyway, this was one of his quotes. One useless man is a shame, two is a law firm, and three is a Congress. And when you listen to something like that, it's like, this isn't so far off from where we are today. and then the other, which is the one that I happen to, probably my favorite of John Adams, but our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And this is where people talk about when it's the separation of church and state and all this other stuff and trying to, we were founded under one nation under God, under a great creator. And if I get the chance, if I'm able to make it where you can listen to this presentation of John Adams, he goes into the role that Jesus played, God played, by the founders, Washington, Thomas Jefferson, himself, others, that this was always part of the foundation. For people to act like we were not one nation under God, that was all, that's not the case. It just isn't true. And when we took God out of public education, that was probably the beginning of the end, if you will, or it was a major impact on it. So we have to do that. Now, just so you kind of know, and I have the, I put some information on the bottom of the show page. Steve Dace, he is on Blaze TV, and he has frequently been a guest with Glenn Beck, and he was actually covering for Glenn Beck one day this past week, and he did an Independence Day special. In the last hour of the show, he has this segment with John Adams. It sounds like John Adams. They have it in such a way to make it sound like this is what John Adams was saying back then. If I can figure a way to play it towards the end here, I will, but it does take some time. So I would encourage you, I put the link out there. You may have to go find it on Rumble or something like that. I don't know. Some people are having problems with the link. But you really ought to listen to it because it talks about so many things that are so relevant today, things that were concerns, and the role of God in this country. And it's just, you need to totally appreciate it. And when you hear what the founders were saying, and then you see where we are today, again, it's nothing new. There should be no surprise as to what's happening to this country because what we've allowed to happen, and to try to reject this core belief of what it takes to be Americans and to defend a free society. Let's see if I can see another one of his quotes out here. Let's see. There are two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword, the other is by debt. Which one do you think we're using? Always stand on principle, even if you stand alone. There is nothing I dread so much as the division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition of each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be the dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. I can definitely agree with that one, too. See, there's truly nothing new. What is happening today is all in... It's just not new. These are things they dealt with in the past. The founders were extremely wise individuals, and they understood what was happening to them, and they understood what would happen to us if we didn't keep the republic. We've given you a republic if you can keep it. And that was Ben Franklin. Let's see. Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest of any one man, family, or class of men. Therefore, the people alone have an incontestable, inalienable, and indefensible right to institute government and to reform, alter, or totally change the same under their protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness require it. So where do you think we are now? A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever. So anyway, those are just a few words from John Adams. And then I'm going to go mention this one here with Thomas Jefferson just because, again, it seems appropriate, but we'll dive into the Declaration after that. There is no justification for taking away individuals' freedom in the guise of public safety. What does that mean to everybody when you think about COVID? There is no justification for taking away individuals' freedom in the guise of public safety. Thomas Jefferson. So true. And we have allowed ourselves to be dumbed down, unfortunately. Too many people have been dumbed down and don't understand what we are. The sad fact is, if we're not careful, we will lose our country. luckily, some recent rulings from the Supreme Court seem to be helping out. We have an election coming up that we can show our total dissatisfaction with the powers that be. But I'll tell you, as I said before, you can go out there, you can get new people in there, but if you don't demand they do the right thing, we're in the same place. So you can't just assume the Republicans are going to save the day. We have got to be very, very engaged in the discussion the whole time. We have to constantly be communicating with these people and tell them to get back to what we're supposed to be, which is a free society, and get rid of all these useless agencies, et cetera, give us back our rights. Stop with cutting, you know, like right now what Biden is doing is, and I guess Obama was the one who started it, changing the rules. So they're not going to try to, they're not, they would like to take the guns away. Okay, they want to take, they want to disarm the American people. That's not going to be so easy. So what are they going to do? They're going to make it extremely difficult for the ammo to be made. And say, well, we'll give you a gun, you just won't be able to load it with anything. So this is another way of them disarming us. But we have to work more with these, understanding the Second Amendment and the state militias and things like that, because we may have to defend ourselves at a state level. And I know in Florida they have reactivated, or whatever you want to call it, the state militia, the state guard, I think is what they call it, the state guard. And so now we're beginning, but other states need to be doing it too. The National Guard isn't, if it's going to be under the control of King Biden, we don't need the National Guard if that's what's going to happen, which apparently it has been happening. So we've got to do that too. Okay, let's talk about this declaration. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare their causes which impel them to the separation. Now, two very key statements in there is laws of nature and nature's God. So, laws of nature. When you think about laws of nature, and you think about what's happening in this society today, how much of that do we not hold true? Laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. So, all this weird stuff going on, drag queens and transgendering and all this other, that's not the laws of nature. And I don't think most people think it's nature's God either. So nature's God entitled them. It's something kind of weird, but think of that out there. And then, of course, this is the part that we don't hear the whole thing, but we hear most of. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their creator. Creator. That's the same thing as God, creator, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, initially, they were going to say property in there, but that has it was changed to happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Do you think that's happening today? Do you think we have the consent of the governed? I know they don't have my consent on most of what they do, and I know a lot of people are in the same opinion of me as me. So governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem to most likely affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. by one a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariable the same objective, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injury and usurpations, all having an indirect object to establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. Then we go down the list. And see, this is where we're, you know, this is the part that's kind of scary to me. This is what we did to declare independence. And in so many ways, we need to do this today, again, because we don't have independence. We've been taken over by a bunch of a tyrannical government. That is what has happened. They are doing their best to totally destroy our Constitution, totally take us down, what they're doing with the fuel. You can just look all over the place, and you can see all the various things they're doing to destroy this country. And if we're going to, we're either going to let them do it, as it was saying in there, to just continue with the suffering as accustomed to, what the suffering you're accustomed to, and just not do anything, or you're going to take action to change it. If we take action, like some want to have the Constitutional Convention, some call it the Con-Con, you're at risk of the wrong people really making the changes. Because you do have these people who are trying to take over. We have an invasion at the southern border. What will happen if we truly try to replace the current government? What will we end up replacing it with? We see what they did here. We know what they had to do, the Revolutionary War. So if we go down this path, what's going to happen next? What will it take to truly restore this government? Because that's not what we have today. That's my opinion. If you think that the current government we have today truly, truly follows what the intent was of this Declaration and of our Constitution, good for you, but I don't. I don't think that's the case anymore. So what do we have to do to restore? I don't want to see us totally destroy this and start over because of what it could end up being. Could be China. We could be the United States of China, which would be pretty disgusting to me. Something else could happen. But at the same time, we can't continue on the path we're on right now because they're destroying this country. Okay, when they talk about the things that he did, the king, he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation until his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. Excuse me, and you think of that one. Governors, well, we have a Tenth Amendment. The Constitution has a Tenth Amendment. What's not clearly defined in that Constitution is to go to the states. Most people don't seem to understand what the Tenth Amendment is, which comes to the abortion issue and many other issues that the states are supposed to be dealing with, which also includes education. There is no Department of Education in the Constitution. Federal government shouldn't have anything to do with it. It should be at the state level and at the local levels. And we identified that as a problem back then. Here we've got somebody over there trying to mandate what happens here and totally ignoring the governors. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people will relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. And how many of us think we don't have any representation anymore? But here he's actually requiring they relinquish the right of representation. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the the depository of the public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. And this goes back into how much you'll suffer. Okay, we're going to make this so unbearable. And think about what they're doing today in a variety of things. How many things, what they're making things so expensive you can't have them. Either you can take the COVID, what they did, into the compliance of that stuff. Just think about how the things that are happening today and compare to what was happening back then. The abuse, the tyranny of the government, and this is what we have happening at the federal level. And you have it happening at the state level, too, and obviously some states are worse than others. You know, you can take New York or California, whatever. But it's nothing new. The government ought to be – this is what happens. People get power, and they just – they take over. Okay, let's see. Excuse me. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasion on the rights of the people. Okay? He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He said they want to do this, and the people rejected it. He invaded on the rights of the people. And so this is what he was doing. He dissolved the representative house, took away any representation they had. Okay? He has refused for a long time after such the dissolution to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the danger of invasion from without and convulsion within. Convulsion, okay. Remember, this is the original language. But the whole point is the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion. So he goes out there and leaves them defenseless. What it really comes down to. If you're not going to go along with what they say, you will be put at risk. Do you think that's what's happening today here? Either you do what we say, or we're going to block you. We're going to reject stuff. We're not going to let you do this. We're not going to let you do that. Again, go back to COVID. Okay, he has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migration, hither and raising the condition of new appropriations of land. Appropriations of land. That's a very big one, too. Obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners. Trying to control. And then, excuse me, he has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. Isn't that a big one? I think I was hearing that might have been one of the things that John Adams said, or somebody was saying judiciary powers is one of the most areas of abuse when it comes to government, and not just this one, but governments in general. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for their tenure of their office and the amount of in payment of their salaries. Now, what does that sound like? I mean, I don't see how anybody can say that doesn't seem extremely relevant to today. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. So what do you think those judges would say? Well, how would they make decisions? And think about what's happening today. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither a swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. And sounds pretty normal. This is multiple of new offices. And I kind of think of when I see these new offices, I think about the different agencies we keep creating. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. And you think about that. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. So you better do as you're being told, or the army is sitting right over you. He is affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. Now, does that sound like a police state? He is affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil powers. Civil power, excuse me. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. So we're here doing one thing, and he doesn't like it, so he's sending over others to do other things, a pretend legislation, pretended legislation. And I think we have pretended legislation here. I think we could call that January 6th committee pretended legislation, because it definitely isn't real. And it definitely has, when it comes to the Constitution, what it, you know, I somehow can relate that to this particular thing. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. To me, that sounds like January 6th committee. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, again, it's a police state. You're going to do as we tell you, or you're not going to be there. Okay, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. So we're sending over the guards. We're sending over military, police state, whatever you want to call it. And if they happen to kill somebody, oh well, such is life. They're immune. How does that sound compared to some things we see happening today? While I'm not going to use the word murder, I think you could easily look at what's happening with the Biden family. They seem to be immune from anything, don't they? For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent. That's the one people seem to think the most about is taxation without representation. For depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. And right now you don't have trial by jury either. Think about what's happening again with January 6th, what they have done, what is going on today compared to what King George was doing. I don't see a big difference. I really don't. All the reasons we needed this Declaration of Independence from King George, we seem to need it again now from King Biden and some of these other nutcases in Congress who have gone up to Queen Pelosi, whatever she thinks she is, whatever. These people are out of control, and I truly just equate so many things they do to what King George and his tyrants were doing. Okay, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. I see that happening right now, too. That's the same thing. You were there at January 6th. You were there. You're arrested. You didn't do anything wrong, but you're arrested. And no trial by jury, no due process, nothing. And then we have a committee out there trying to say Trump did all of this, whatever. All the insanity of it all. It's so, to me, it's just so relevant to this. It's just not that different. It really isn't. And I see some people out there. You can hit the button when you're ready to speak, and I'll get to you in just a minute. Let me finish this one thing here. Okay, let's see. Okay, for transporting us beyond, okay. For abolishing the free system of English laws in neighboring province. Establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. That's an interesting one. Abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province. Establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. It's an invasion. I mean, that's what I call it. Doesn't that sound sort of like an invasion? Now, I wouldn't quite say it's the same invasion we have going on our southern border, but I think it is an invasion. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. And this has definitely happened too. We've had this happen with a out-of-control Supreme Court and, of course, an out-of-control Congress. They're going to go out there and try to make new laws that people don't want. They're going to try to dictate even more laws to shut down the laws at the state level, that 10th Amendment stuff. We need to force them to be restrained to what the Constitution allows them to do. And I don't have the quote right in front of me, but Jefferson was saying one of those quotes, unconstitutional laws are unenforceable. And they just because they create a law doesn't mean it's constitutional. Obamacare wasn't constitutional. The things they've done with COVID and their mandates aren't really laws, was unconstitutional. Many of the things they're doing are unconstitutional. And then for suspending our own legislature and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. That's where they just took over and said, we're ignoring you. We're going to do what we want to do. And I think what's happened up in Canada, too. It doesn't sound too far from there. Okay. Let's see here. We still got a few more here to go through, but let me go ahead and get some callers on. Okay, Sandy, are you there? Oop, I'm hearing noise in the background. Okay, let me mute that, and Sandy, if you can hear this and you want to still speak, please hang up and call back in. I'm hearing some noise in the background. Okay, I'll get back over here. Okay. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. And you think about that one. Okay, and when I'll go back to the one, abdicated a government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. There has been a war waged against us here, as far as I'm concerned. You can take it from that southern border. You can take it from the total destruction of this economy to bring people to their knees, to make people suffer and comply with their rules and obedience. COVID was the test. COVID was the test. Can we abuse these people, and will they come cave in? Will they surrender their rights? So I believe this is very much part of it. They claim it's because they care, but let's go back to Jefferson's quote about taking people's rights away for public safety. Never. That's never a valid reason. But they act like that. And then the protection, and then the war against the unvaccinated. Well, remember that? That hasn't been that long. I can write just about all of this to what's happening today. And plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns. Look what's happened to the various energy, fossil fuel stuff. You can take that. Of course, we can have the Summer of Love that burned the down buildings, blew up cars, killed people. The government just stood there looking, didn't do anything. And totally acceptable. And the Congress, the liberal Democrats, whatever you want to call them, that was okay. Now, January 6th, that was an insurrection. But doing all this other stuff was fine, perfectly fine. There's something insane here. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete, I think it's supposed to be compete, but complete, the works of, let me say that again. Again, the spellings of these things are different in the past. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of head of a civilized nation. Think of that. Death, desolation, and tyranny already begun. And while the conditions of today, the mass communication we have today, the brainwashing that happens today, this is going on, but they try to act like it's in the best interest of the people, that we have to do this. We have to do this. And as head of a civilized nation, do we think we have, do you think the person who's in the Oval Office today totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation? I would say that's true. I would say that's definitely true. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrection amongst us. He has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an indistinguishable destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions by our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them to the ties of our common kindred a desire disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice of the consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity, I can't read today, which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. Enemies in war, in peace, friends. Excuse me. We are therefore the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intention, due in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, we affirm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Then we go down the list of those who signed it. But that very last sentence is the key. And for the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. What is divine providence? God. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, right there, how much of that is there today? And in support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. These people were serious. They understood what was happening. They understood the abuses, and they said, no, we don't want it. We will do something different. Through divine providence, we have the right. And when you try to say anything to do with God and rights today, people go crazy. Well, it looks like John is out there now. Let me see if I can get John out there. See if it's coming on. Well, come on. There we go. Okay, John, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Happy Independence Day.
And to you.
Thank you. What are you thinking?
I don't know how many more we're going to have of these. Unless we do well in November and win the next one, I don't know that we'll have a country anymore. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and as I was going down the Declaration of Independence, how many of those things do you think we're suffering from today? I mean, it's almost like we have to declare independence again. I mean, that's kind of the way I see it. What do you think?
Yeah, it doesn't help that half of your population are communists, and they're trying to overthrow the other half all the time. And this president is the most un-American, openly un-American president I've ever seen. And before that, the most openly un-American president was his boss, Barack Obama. So it really is true that this is Barack Obama's second term.
Yeah, well,
he's pulling the strings on this idiot.
That's true.
With Obama was chaos too. And I guess who we have to thank for that is a bunch of radical college children. And I know for a fact because I have one, and she married one.
Yep.
So I know how these people think. And they don't think like we do. They don't think like
the... how much of this started, what was the ultimate, the beginning of the fall of the United States of America? When, as I go back to things, and I don't know the timelines except to say I think it was like in the 20s, 30s, when we started allowing communists to come to this country because we believed in free will or free whatever, and the freedom to believe in whatever you want to believe, we somehow thought that meant you can have a communist on the Supreme Court. Or I think at some point in there, and I'd have to do the history, check my history on this, at one point you had to be a Christian to be on the Supreme Court, and then somehow that just changed. So little by little, we've allowed ourselves to decay, totally rot out what our core foundation and core beliefs are, and then you end up with this other element in here that wants to take you down. Is that your take on it?
Yeah, the other element is godless. They don't believe in any God. And they think they have all the answers. And so that represents about half the population in the country. Now,
yeah.
We are more fortunate than I thought we were going to be, because I'm seeing evidence that the people we allowed into the country before, the Hispanics, have become good Americans. And they're on the conservative white side. That's a break and a half right there, because the values of the leftists in the Democrat Party, which seems like that's all there is there, they don't want it either. And so we've got them on the votes. We have the Hispanic votes, and we have a lot of black votes that don't see any of this to their advantage either. So I'm thinking we have a good shot at winning this election. and saving. If we save America, it will be with the help of the new people that have come in here and become citizens and actually want a good working country. And I believe that's most of the Hispanics. And they're fed up with it in their state of California. This is a big break for us. Thank God for them.
Hold on one second real quick. Sandy, I see you kind of hitting the button back and forth. Go ahead. If you're interested in speaking on the air on some of this, please press the one now and I can get you on here. I've seen you kind of going back and forth. So it looks like you may be multitasking. So anyway, if you want to chime in on what we're talking about here, please go ahead and press one. Okay, the other. Okay, she has pressed one. We're going to get Sandy in here now.
That's what I said. Okay. What kind of news do you watch?
Okay, Sandy, are you there? Sandy, are you there? I don't know. Okay. Well, she has pushed the button about three or four times. And let's, anyway, the go ahead and continue on, John. The
well, as I was saying,
she must be having trouble with that phone is all I can say.
Everything points to them losing this next election. And I've started hearing that from every Democrat on that side. If the economy goes into recession, which it has always done, when we've had a bout of inflation and the Federal Reserve had to ratchet up interest rates, that would really kill it for the party in power, which is the Democrats. So it really looks like, now they thought they were going to get a boost from all the women out there that are have become Democrat radicals over one issue, abortion. I don't think they're going to get that boost. I don't think that there's enough of them.
I don't think so either, right? I think it's kind of an interesting thing, not to interrupt you, but it's mentioning the abortion issue, which I think, once again, kind of comes back to this fundamental belief, and we've talked about it some on previous shows, but when does life really begin? And there are Democrats who think it begins, doesn't begin until who knows when, that you could, if it's your kids, you could kill them at any time. I mean, we literally heard that being said on the street. And the one said, if your child was 2 years old, you could kill them. My kid, I can do what I want. I mean, saying crazy things like that. And it's just such a sick society that would say that. But right now, we're one of the sickest societies ever. Well,
as things stand right now.
Yeah, but to think that to me, I think it's both sides. The abortion issue will rally up some of the Democrat, communist, whatever you want to call them, Marxist. It will rally up some of them and get them to a vote. However, I also think the protecting the anti-abortion people are going to be also rallied up. So I think it really neutralizes itself. I don't think it's I don't think it's going to have any big impact like maybe some of the Democrats.
It's not going to save Biden's ass. No. To be blunt about it, no. It's not going to save his party. It's not. They are hoping against hope that that's going to be the one issue. And that will not be the one issue because there are millions of people out here that are facing real problems that he has created. And they just simply can't go on living like this. But
right.
The Democrat elitist attitude about everything is, we don't care. We really don't care how hard a life you have. And the elitists do not care, and they're mostly rich Democrats.
Hey, here's
I've
got a couple of quotes here. Let me share a couple of quotes that kind of tie into some of this. These are John Adams again. Power always thinks that it is doing God's service when it is violating all of his laws. That is so true. The power thinks they're doing God's service when while in reality they're violating all of his laws. And this one here, when economic power...
They're dripping in blood, and they think they're innocent.
Exactly. When economic powers become concentrated in a few hands, then political When economic power becomes concentrated in a few hands, then political power flowed into these processors, that's what it says, processors, and away from the citizens, ultimately resulting in oligarchy and tyranny. And is that not where we're at today? Power becoming concentrated into a few hands. That is exactly where we are today. And this was, again, John Adams. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. So we're not supposed to be a democracy. We are a republic. However, we've allowed people to brainwash us into thinking we are a democracy, and it's exactly the same thing. We are committing suicide on the path we're on as we speak today. Go ahead. Chime in.
Well, I feel like that's covered by Nancy Pelosi. Every time she wants to reinforce her position, she just says, y'all are threatening our democracy. And
exactly.
That's the excuse they're giving for this kangaroo court January 6th commission. It's because he threatened our democracy. It's their democracy as long as they're getting what they want. That's how long their democracy is going to last. It's a big excuse. That's all it is. For them getting their way, and they inflicted this pandemic on us just to get their way.
It
was a political move, and it worked.
It was a test. We failed the test. We failed the COVID test.
I remember talking to a Democrat. And he thought Donald Trump was a horrible president. I wonder what he thinks now.
Well, I know a lot of them have definitely changed their position. And we do have another caller. Let me go ahead and get the other caller in here. 4427. And I know I should know this name, but I am forgetting. 4427.
Nathan in Orlando.
Okay, I should have known. Hey. How did I miss you?
Listen, I'm enjoying what you guys are saying, but there's a little bit I think you guys are missing. I agree with what you quoted about power makes people become gods, and we get that in our nature because one thing that man was created or tempted with in the garden. And that was when Satan told Eve, hey, God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. So it's in our nature to want to be in control. And we get to a point, if we do get enough control, to actually believe we are gods and what we're doing is something good for people, even though we're benefiting from it. I want to challenge your confidence on the next election because – you got to look at the Republicans' vote records, and before you know they keep getting us on this stuff. On the abortion thing, we're excited that Roe v. Wade got overthrown, and it's going back to the states. But I can't find anybody who can tell me what states had it before it went to the Supreme Court. The lady that made it famous was looking and she went to some political activists. One of them was a lawyer trying to find a connection down in Mexico, and they said, whoa, we can use this to get it to the Supreme Court and make it the law of the land. So, and I'm saying when it goes back to the states, we're rejoicing that we can starve them out and eventually they'll do. But here's the other thing. 3 years before Roe v. Wade, George Daddy Bush wrote a law that funds Planned Parenthood. It's called Title X or Title 10. It funds Planned Parenthood. It was 100-0. It passed with 100-0 in 1970. Nixon signed it, and then 7 of the 9 judges who ruled for Roe v. Wade were Republican and Republican-appointed judges. So this is a Republican policy, and when it goes back to the states, keep this in mind, the states that want to have abortion, man, I'm going to tell you what, it's like the lottery hitting these states. It's going to be strong economic states because we still have Congress, the federal Congress still has to fund Planned Parenthood because it's a federal law. And another one, Obamacare, a federal law, funds abortion. So what we're rejoicing over this little move here, but it's all just image. We're excited, but I wouldn't say stop fighting. But what we should have did from the very beginning is call on the Republicans to repeal Title X that funds Planned Parenthood. All we heard about was how they were able to stop the Hyde Amendment and the Hagel Amendment, you know, and we get excited because they're fighting. But, you know, that's just that was like getting rid of cobwebs rather than exterminating the spider. And so I have a hard time being real positive about how great we're doing on this issue. The fight is just beginning.
Well, and I would totally agree the fight is just beginning, and I think King Biden even said something to that effect as well. So I would definitely agree with that. However, and this is where, and I see Karen, I'll be with you in just a second. This is where I'm stressing to people, you know, you might go out there and vote for these Republicans and all this other stuff, but you better be calling them. You better be calling them out on it now that if they get in there and they fail to do this, they are the ones who will have the blood on their hands of this nation, because they are the ones failing. They are out there right now. If they do what they say, what they claim to believe, because there is a core difference in the belief of what the Republican side versus the Democrat side believes when it comes to a free society. How we all know how, you know, if a Democrat runs as a Republican, that's called a rhino. And we have plenty of rhinos out there. We have fake Republicans out there. But if we get these Republicans in there who are all saying they're going to make changes and they don't do it, there probably will be some kind of an insurrection on that Capitol Hill that they won't, you know, will be nothing compared to what January 6th was, because people are getting the next revolution's coming if they don't change. Kind of like what I was reading on here. Going through the different things of why we declared independence from King George, and when you compare it to what is going on today, well, there's so many similarities to it. You can go ahead and comment, then I'm going to get Karen on here as well. Go ahead.
Okay,
and
on the similarities, there's something that's added to that. Back when we first began, it was a group of people that were tired of what the king was doing. I want to worship God, not according to the government, and I'm going over here to this new land. Well, he establishes a relationship with them because he's going to send them goods, but then all of a sudden he wants to start treating them like they're still under his control. And they said, no, we ain't going to do that. We're going to write this document, and we're willing to go to war for it. Okay, and that here's the difference. Now that we're ready to go back to the Declaration of Independence, you got to keep something in mind. We're not fighting this guy across the pond here. We have the pond is now in America. America is not Americans. It's Russia and China, and our New York Stock Exchange is not a government company. I mean, a American company. It belongs to a company in Germany. Okay, we're not, so, you know, it's not us fighting this one guy over here.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole bunch. We got, you know, executive
we've
order.
Been, we've
Daddy,
been sold
Daddy
out.
Bush is a,
we've been sold out.
And
then,
so
it's,
here's the thing.
Yes.
Here's the thing: we could take to the streets to go to war with the government, and we'll find that we got the Chinese knocking on our doors, we got the Russians knocking on our doors, we got other countries from down south is knocking on our doors, and we're gonna find out we're not just fighting the Republicans or maybe the Democrats. It's a lot more complicated than that. But I do say we need to look at the Republicans. Here's what I've noticed in American history. They get a debate going up there at the top. They stake it down with a vote, and it's real close to unanimous, or it is unanimous. And then after that, the debate starts. Well, guess what? It's already in our soul, and we're debating it for the next generation or two. Same with Obamacare. Ted Cruz and the Republicans won a majority in with the Tea Party. They jumped out in front of the Tea Party. They won. And guess what? Ted Cruz was the big rock star on running against Obamacare, and he voted after his 21-hour, 19-minute filibuster, and they voted 100-0 for it. And then Ted Cruz is still, you ask any Republican today about it, we need to repeal it. I can send you the U.S. Senate record where they voted for it.
Yeah.
So we need to quit letting them court us with sweet talk. I'm gonna hang up and keep listening.
We need to call them on the carpet and force the truth. And the truth will set
but you
us
can't,
free.
But
the
here,
truth is gonna set us free.
Here
one
you
way
can't
or the
do
other.
That because right, you can't do that though because that we got a Republican media. I don't know if people know this, but Clear Channel and iHeartRadio is owned by Mitt Romney. And right now, if you listen to talk radio, everybody is kind of trying to move our minds away from Trump because he's the only one that's crossed that barrier where people from, you know, a Republican that ain't is tired of the Republicans will vote for Trump. And we got this guy here at WDBO in Orlando last week. He was saying that when people voted, Joe Kelly, when people voted, they didn't vote for Biden. They voted against Romney. And I listened to all the different talk shows. Not because I follow them, because I'm studying them, and they are all moving our minds away from Trump. So they know who, and you know what? Take Trump out. I promise you, these Republicans are going to be sitting home or voting for third party candidates that can't win, because he's
well,
the only one that's got
when it
their
comes
heart.
To Trump isn't going to be there for the next. Even if Trump decides to run again. In 2024, that's 2 years away. So there's going to be, Lord only knows what all is going to happen between now and then. Well, but I will continue to say that truly I believe the best role Trump could have is to be that Speaker of the House, which is an unelected position, which the Republicans could
which
do
has never
once they
happened
get in there.
Before. What they want, yeah, but what you're suggesting they do, they've never done before.
Well,
he's
right,
never been
we
more,
were in a... There's right now, of all times, to do something different is the time is now. We are in a situation we've never been in before either. We are truly at the brink here of a total collapse in the fall of this country. So they need to go and do something different this time. Who knows whether Trump would do it? I don't know. I'm just saying, based on his willingness to call out people and to speak up, which is part of the reason why some Republicans wouldn't want him there, because he will call them out. But I believe if we get enough of the right Republicans in there, and they say, Trump, come in there, because I don't know of any other Republican, well, maybe there's one or two, I'll say one or two might be out there, who would truly go out there and go and impeach these two idiots and also Pelosi. These people would be gone because of the treasonous. What has happened is treason. We have elements of treason taking us down, the enemies from within, but I do believe the very few of the people in Congress would do the dirty work of doing that. With Trump being in there, not as elected, but as appointed as a speaker, could do that without the same limitations, if I want to put it that way, of what the other representatives. McCarthy's never going to do it. McConnell's never going to do it.
Well, what the Republicans want to do is do something that's never been written because it's not written. It's like, well, there's no law, so we can do it. So that's what they're trying to do. They came up with something that somebody overlooked. We're going to appoint this guy because it's not an elected position. That means they could appoint you, Sally, and they're going to be, what? What's going on here? Well, it doesn't actually say. And then that's going to cause a lot of problems on the Democrat side. Well, you know, and the Republicans like Romney, you know, and Dick Cheney Jr. And you know they're going to be saying, "Well, no, you know, foul." But that's okay. That, you know, that will probably get an amendment that yes, you can or yes, you can't. You know, but the thing is I don't know if Trump's running. I don't care if Trump's running. What I know is he's the only one in American history to include, and this is also not to include, but to exclude Billy Graham. Billy Graham, to fill an auditorium, it takes him months to do that, months of preparation.
Yep.
Trump can fill it up in 3 days. All he's got to do is make the announcement, and people are making their way. You know, so he's somebody to be reckoned with, and the Republicans that are crap, that wants to get reelected, they have to ally with him in order to do it. Because if Trump is out of the game, I promise you a lot of these Republicans, because there's more no party affiliates than there are Republicans right now. I don't care about how many, of new voters, Republicans, they're still outnumbered by the no party affiliates. I'm going to hang up
listening. Oh, okay. And chime back in if you want to later. Go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Karen, I know you're there, but I want to read something real quick. These are two more quotes from John Adams. We should be unfaithful to ourselves if we should ever lose sight of the danger to our liberty if anything partial or extraneous should infect the purity of our free, fair, virtuous, and independent elections. If an election is to be determined by a majority of a single vote and that can be procured by a party through artifice and corruption, the government may be the choice of a party for its own ends, not the nation for the national good. Tell me that doesn't relate to what's happening today. And then we recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. This is John Adams. This is what the founders were thinking and talking back in that time. With that being said, welcome, Karen. I'm glad you were able to make it. And if you're talking, you're on mute. Okay, Karen, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, I can barely hear you now.
Okay, let me just now raise the volume. And thank you so much, and happy Independence Day to everyone. And I think it would be a great idea if everybody at their barbecue or family gathering sat down and read the Declaration of Independence and just take out the word George, King George III, and put in Obama and Biden, because it's O'Biden. If you don't think Obama's pulling the strings, folks, I have news for you. And it's not even Obama, it's Obama's handlers. I agree with everything that has been said, except for one thing. We have never sat down and said, let's name the enemy. Who are we fighting? What is this about? And because we never did that, the left is able to say, enemy, victim, and choose different groups. If we knew who the enemy was, we wouldn't allow them to do that. So one of the problems that we have right now is people like, who was on the call before? Who called in? Was that Nathan?
Nathan just hung up, and John is still on.
Okay, that was Nathan speaking. She's absolutely right for one exception. He has the right concept, and that's great. The problem is he's the enemy. Okay, we have a problem, and it is not Republican versus Democrat. But we all have to understand right now, Republican and Democrat are the only choices that we have. Now we have the ability to change who the Republicans and Democrats are, and as a republic, we do that through an election, not a war. And it's time, I think, that we name, you know, like name that tune, we will name that enemy. Who is the enemy? Well, the enemy are the globalists. They don't care if they are American, Chinese, French, whatever. Who cares? they feel that they should crush every country and make every country a state under the United Nations. So every country is to give up their rights and follow exactly what the United Nations has laid out. And that is frightening, because if you listen to these people and you listen to what they say, they tell you exactly what they are going to do. And what they are going to do is set on a course to kill us. Now, they're not going to say, we're going to kill you. But what they will do is create artificial shortages. And that's what we have right now. So who are these people? I call them the globalists. And they are in both parties. Mitt Romney is a globalist. Nancy Pelosi is a globalist. So hi, they work together on the globalist level, and then they go back and she says, oh, I'm a Democrat, and he says, I'm a Republican. No, you're not. You're globalist. These people hate America. They hate Donald Trump, but they hate the people even more. And they cannot have a country that stands up and gives freedom to the people and allows them to be armed in order to protect themselves while they try to destroy that country. They are globalists. They are under the United Nations, and they are in both parties. So what we have to do is identify who the globalists are and not vote for them. And they, of course, are trying very hard not to let that be known. So our job, when somebody says, I'm running for office, and you think, oh, wow, isn't this person wonderful? And he knows the Constitution, and they'll follow it. No, they won't. Why do I know that? Because globalists lie. That's how they get power. They don't tell the truth. They own the fancy media, so dumb people listen, because in school they are only trained to have their, they are only trained to have their emotion fed. They don't know logic. They have no idea about money. So they're willing to give everything like that, of which is important. I remember, Sally, how many times they have said, do not talk about politics and religion. Excuse me? That's the most important thing you should be talking about. But through the years, through school, they stopped doing that, just like they stopped saying the pledge and doing all of the things that would help them to eliminate American culture, because American exceptionalism cannot be accepted. So I believe everybody should read the Declaration of Independence and replace King George with Joe Biden and send the letter to Joe Biden and tell him what you think of him. He is evil, and he is purposely destroying the greatest country in the world by having Americans turn against each other. So I think it's time that we drop the hyphens and we all become Americans. And when we fill out forms, I now fill it out as other. And in the other section, they say, whatever it is, fill in your answer. And there I get to write, American. I am an American. I don't care about anything else. I care about America. I care about my family. I care about God. But right now, the top priority is America, our country. They are stealing our country from under us through corruption. They got this money because we gave it to them. And then we created more of it to give to them. So what do you think they're going to do? I think Bill Gates just won in court in North Dakota. He is going to be the largest landholder in North Dakota. Now, for those of you that have no idea what that is, I suggest you maybe watch Yellowstone, and you'll get an idea of what it means to be a landholder. And it's not just land they want. They want our resources. They want everything. They are bloodsuckers, and they want to suck us dry. And if we don't wake up and stop playing these stupid games like Transgender Month, give me a break. If we're going to have Transgender Month, Sally, where is my straight month? Why don't I have a hetero month? Why
no, actually,
we yell at we don't have that? We should be
actually, I think July should be Independence Month, Freedom Month, Independence Month. That's what July should be.
Oh, that's a good one. I think that's really good. I think that's what we should do. Let's do it, folks. Let's do. We have more information on the corruption that has been going on in this government for years and years and years than you can possibly imagine. We have a group of individuals who are running the country and stealing everything we own. The minerals and all of the land that they're selling, they have no right to sell. It belongs to we the people. Wait a minute. That's like stealing my property. You have no right to sell that property. That belongs in the coffers of the United States. And whatever that worth is and whatever that land produces and whatever taxes that goes to the American people who toil to get it. Now let's wake up and do it.
Let me ask
that's
you
right
this. Speaking about the property, okay, there's two pieces to this. And I was actually talking to a local candidate, Vance, that you and I have talked to a couple times lately. Like, there's something seriously wrong when the federal government owns this much land. The federal government should not be owning the land, and the states should be minimum too. But the other question is that the Bill Gates out there, and of course China and these others, they should not be able to buy up what the antitrust or monopolies or whatever it is. You know, Bill Gates wants, he's going out there because of his money, is being allowed to buy up all this land, and he doesn't think we should eat meat. So when you see thousands of cattle dying, you kind of wonder what's really happening here. And the way this whole thing is happening, there should be some kind of limits. There should not be a monopoly of that type of thing going on, that kind of thing. So what's your take on what's happening with total ownership, federal ownership of land? And I believe it was Harry Reid who allowed China to use part. He wouldn't let the Bundys use the federal land, but he was going to do something else for the turtles and the Chinese or whatever else. I mean, it's all insane. But what's going on with the federal land? And I think Tom DeWeese may have been talking about that as well.
The federal land right now, this administration and prior administrations, the bureaucrats who run the agencies are globalists. They don't care about America. They want to get their people in, and they will squash us out, and let me give you an example. Do you remember Mao and what he did to the Chinese people? He stole the farmers' land and then shot all the farmers. And then he stole the farmers' land because he convinced the people that the farmers were poisoning them. Right? So the people had nothing to eat. He killed all the farmers and then the people starved to death. And I think there were 60 million people. Well, that's what's going on right now. In Denmark, I mean, you would never think the Netherlands and Denmark, my goodness, what's going on? What could possibly be going on there? Well, the farmers just went kind of on strike, and they are holding up on the highways because the government has decided that the farmers and has convinced the people through lack of a science education that because the farmers use nitrogen in their fields as a fertilizer, that they are poisoning everyone because they're giving everyone nitrogen. Now, these morons also don't know that nitrogen is part of our air, and about 70% of our atmosphere is made up of nitrogen. So if it was a poisonous gas, wouldn't we all be dead? We sure would be. That's 70%. But because they don't know math and they don't know science, they don't think about that. we just think of, oh, my goodness, we're being poisoned. Well, of course, if you breathed in nothing other than nitrogen, you would die. Just like if you breathed in nothing other than oxygen, you would die. Something in excess is never good. It's always a combination of a bunch of things. And that's what makes it work. And that's how it, why America is so great, was because we used to allow these things to work together. Well, now we have a group of people that say, no, you're going to do it our way. Well, your way is wrong. Oh, you'll go to a re-education camp and you'll eventually think our way is right. Or they'll say, okay, then you will go and live in that apartment over there, which is, I believe, 700 square feet if you have a family of four. And don't quote me on that because it's been a long time since I've read Agenda 21. But that's what this is all about, controlling human activity and behavior. In order to control 5 billion people, that's a big deal, and that's what they're facing. So they have to convince the people to do horrible things to kill themselves so they can depopulate the planet. And they will tell us that they have to do this because there's not enough food. Well, there's not enough food if you take away fertilizer from the farmers and then blame the farmers for not producing food. And then you take away the diesel from the truckers who can't deliver the food that the farmers can't produce. And when they can produce it, it's 3 times the amount of what you paid for a year ago. They are trying to kill us. And I can't say that enough. I can't say that. I can say it nice and low. They're trying to kill us. But really, they're trying to kill us. You have to understand that they're going to use every opportunity to do it. They're serious.
You know,
what they're saying. We will own nothing and be happy. Will you be happy if you own nothing? I won't be happy.
No.
I was talking to a liberal yesterday at a Independence Day event, and they, of course, they're saying that conspiracy theories and all this. They think George Soros is a wonderful person, so that gives you an idea where they're coming from. And I'm like, if you don't like white supremacy, you can't like George Soros. He's good. Where that conversation was going.
Did you ask them why they like him?
Well, I attempted to, and I did actually on several occasions. I said, here, I can give you my email address, and when you find the answer to what I just said or you prove what I just stated was incorrect, send it to me. Because I said, my research is totally different than what you're saying. And this particular person was a lady. She was saying, well, I'm from Poland, so I know what it's like. Somehow this Poland, she's been here in the U.S. for 30 years, and I'm from Poland, so I know what suffering is, or whatever, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah, because
and yet she's
that
a
was
Democrat.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, because, you know why? Because Polish mentality that once you sign up for something, you sign it up for life. And we got to figure out a way to get them past that because all they're doing is killing themselves without realizing it because they're giving into the same oppression without realizing it because the oppression in America. The poor people in America have more than many of the rich people in third world countries.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, and then she was one who said something about conspiracy theories. I said, we have enemies. There are people who don't want us to survive. Whether you like it or not, we do have enemies. I said, that's just a fact. And this particular person, she also didn't know who Margaret Sanger was. And she actually wrote that one down and was going to look. And there was another lady there, a person of color, who heard me talk about Margaret Sanger and was shaking her head, yes. So, and I told the lady, well, you're this lady right here, she knows that what I'm saying is true. But you go look it up. Go look and see. Margaret Sanger was out there trying to kill certain races off, more so with the black community than any, but also trying to kill off the Italians and some other group who she deemed
to
be not worthy.
She's trying to kill all of the mentally challenged. You had a mental disability, and you were on her dead list. You're a useless eater.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She was deciding who should live and who should die.
And that's what they're doing. That's what they think they're doing. They think they're God. And they think that they have the right to decide who should live and who should die. And as long as you agree with them, you have a shot. And this sounds so much like the Hunger Games. I'm waiting for them to say, okay, rather than fight a war, why don't you pick your best warrior, and we'll pick our best warrior, and winner take all. I mean, that's what this sounds like. This is insane. These people are globalists. They hate us. They want to kill us. And we continue to give them more power. We are stupid.
Well, or and I'm going to go back
maybe
to...
Maybe we're ignorant.
Well, we were through brainwashing and, of course, public education. And I'll take bring this back to the religious aspect that we were supposed to be so open and forgiving that we allowed the enemy to come in. And here's this two more quotes here from John Adams. The destiny of America is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to all men everywhere. Now, these quotes I'm reading are off of AZ quotes. I am assuming that these are valid. But if anybody wants to try it, because I've had some people say that these aren't true either, but I believe they are, especially with John Adams. Then the other one, the Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the precepts of Christianity. Because there's all these people who still think the separation of church and state and that we are not one nation under God. They want to kill anything to do with religion and Christianity. Right. They want to take it out. But this is fundamental. This and we think of this fundamental belief, core belief of what we were founded on. And then because of it, the open arms, the same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak. If you're going to have open arms, you're going to have this core belief and seek to help others around and all this type of thing, you better be careful because you will let your enemy in and your enemy can kill you at that point. The sad fact is you can try to convert your enemy to your friend, but the human nature, you're not going to get rid of all your enemies. We've allowed the enemies to come in. How can you be an atheist or a Marxist or a communist and be in public office and hold any office in any public office today and be legit? You can't. You cannot be an atheist and believe in God at the same time. You can't be an atheist or a communist and be an American representative, senator, whatever, because there's no way you can uphold your oath of office. You're allowed to do that. How are you going to uphold this Constitution, take a sworn oath to this Constitution, when you don't believe in it? You can't do it. And so we've allowed ourselves to get confused.
You see, that's the difference. We think of them that they have the same morality that people who believe in God have. They have no morality, and we have to deal with them like that. Your question is very good for a moral group of people. They don't care about morality. They want to
kill you.
They want power. Their only motivation is power. Period. So they're not going to allow you to have an independent thought. Heaven forbid. That's definitely forbidden. Forget that one. And they're not going to allow you to speak out, which is why the noose of censorship is tightening. They are not like us, and that's our biggest downfall. We have to stop treating them like they are a moral people because they're not. Now, an atheist could exist in America because an atheist can still be moral. And America is based on morality as much as religion. The fairness between people is a moral question. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for my neighbor, my friend, my compatriot, my patriot, American. So we are not supposed to have a distinction. We're not supposed to have a class in America. We're not supposed to have a ruling class, an elite class. We're not supposed to have that because the bottom line is each one of us has the same vote. So it doesn't matter how rich you are, you still have that one vote. And, of course, because that's not being taught, nobody knows about that one either. So we have major, major problems because education and the media, who were supposed to be making sure that all Americans understood how America works and hold those who were trying to cheat accountable, became the ones who were the cheaters. And that, unfortunately, is human nature. And we may or may not like it. I don't like it. But that's human nature. That's what human beings do. If you allow them that latitude of power over you, they're going to take it. And then you can't be surprised that they took it. Now what we have to do is, okay, we were dumb. We gave them power that they never should have had. But basically it's because they lied to us. So what we have to do is go back and look at all of these rules and understand the timing of when it happened and why, and stop judging all of what happened in the past by today's rules, because you can't do that. Things were very different in the past. If you don't understand the past, guess what? You're going to repeat it. And that's where we are over and over and over again, because globalists do not want you to have any national culture. Their days and their globalism became one the day the borders were open. That's what this is all about. Anybody should be able to go anywhere in the earth. Okay, but who's paying for it? Well, the Americans are paying for it, of course. Well, how stupid are we? Because now we are $30 trillion of paying for it.
Yeah.
Our fault is letting the globalists get to become the elite. And I believe Donald Trump is the only person right now who understands what I said, because he is an international player, but he is not a globalist. He is a nationalist,
right.
And that's why they hate him.
Exactly.
And that's where we are right now.
Okay,
so
we've got a couple more quotes here from
versus Republicans. It's globalist versus nationalist.
Yeah, the party affiliation can be very misleading. And we've seen that over and over again. And the fact of the matter is, it's been more Democrats who run as Republicans. It's not if it truly was that you had, in order to be a Democrat, you really had to believe in one sort of thing, and a Republican, you really had to believe in another. But that isn't the case. It's all just a game. It's a game that they play. So you've got to go, if they've been in office, you got to look at their records. You got to see what they've done in the past and call them on the carpet for this kind of crap. If you're a communist, you don't belong there. That's all there is to it. If your sworn oath means nothing. And you know what? If you violate that sworn oath, there ought to be consequences for violating the oath of office, which right now, because they're put up there, is not the case.
There's an act, I think it was the McLaren or something like that, McLaren-Warren Act, that said that if you were a communist or some affiliate that could not support the Constitution, blah, 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 you could not hold office. And I believe that Clinton repealed it. And if that's so, then what we need to do is unrepeal it and bring it back.
Yeah.
And bring
definitely.
It
back. Need to check
that's right. It was precedent at one time. Let's do it again. Nobody says you have
exactly.
to stick with what you have if you don't want it. But we have to do something. We can't offer the same garbage. And that's why this Republican Party is disgusting. But don't look at the Republican Party. We have to look at the people and exactly
right.
what you said, Sally, what they did. What did they do?
Exactly. We have to be part of the equation. We cannot just say, okay, I did this and it's done. You got to be active and vigilant and asking questions and demanding that they represent us. Here's two, maybe three quotes here from Jefferson that, again, to me are very relevant, and history does repeat itself if you don't learn from it. When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes a duty. When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes. And
that's
then
really
the. And let's see, the issue today is the same as that has been throughout all of history, whether man shall be allowed to govern himself or be ruled by a small elite. How does that sound? And let's see, laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crime. How does that sound compared to everything we've been talking today in today's world? This one I think most people know. When the people are afraid of the government, that's tyranny. But when the government is afraid of the people, that's liberty. And, of course, that's why they want to take away the arms. Okay, let's see. There was one other one up here. I think myself that we have much more machinery of government than is necessary. Too many parasites living on the labor of the industrious. Government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. The course of history shows that as a government grows, liberty decreases. The two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution so the second cannot become the legalized version of the first. Tell me that isn't true. That is so relevant to where we are today.
Absolutely. They knew exactly what was going on. And right now they are creating a food shortage. So everybody, please, stock up. This is very serious. We started, if I can take a brief moment, I started talking about the Netherlands and what they were doing to the farmers. And they were convincing the people that the farmers were killing them because they were using nitrogen as fertilizer. Folks, we breathe in nitrogen. It's part of our air. We need it. We can't live without it. So that whole thing is a lie. But the ruse behind it is that they are convincing the people to go after the farmers, and now they are taking the land of the farmers, claiming that the farmers are poisoning the land. And that's what the whole deal is about. And if they follow through what Stalin did and what Mao did, you can look for the death of many farmers, and the government will take over the production of food. And that's what they want, because Stalin said, take away the food and you control the food and you control the people. And that's where we're headed.
And at the same time, people better remember what just happened a few weeks ago, all that cattle that just dropped over. I'm sorry, that wasn't heat. The heat did not kill all that cattle.
No.
And I don't believe it was the rancher who killed it either. I believe it was some other element out there that the enemies from within.
Yeah, they want to kill us. I keep on remembering that, folks. It's a horrible thing to say, but we have to deal with the truth right now. We are in the same position that our founders were in, and we have the only ability to save this country as a free country. This is it. This is the whole nine yards. And either we're going to allow them to control us, or we're going to say, no, we're going to put the right people in office who are going to put you in jail or put you behind bars or whatever, or charge you with treason, of which treason is the only crime, with a mandatory death sentence. You tell me they haven't committed treason by allowing an invasion of our country.
There is treason. There is so much treason going on here. It's beyond, even if you're not fully educated or not as you've been a victim of public education to some degree or another, it shouldn't be rocket science to see when they let this massive amount of people, especially when they're bringing over bioweapons like fentanyl, and the same people who are were somehow engaged in the COVID ordeal, the coronavirus plandemic thing, which was aided by enemies from within like Fauci. At some point, people, you have to wake up. You stop fooling yourself. This is not, it's not a conspiracy theory when it's real. How can you deny this is happening? It's right out in front of you.
It's a conspiracy fact. There was a real conspiracy. That is a fact. It's not a theory anymore. It's real. It's a fact. Like, just like we have
That's
been screaming all along, they are lying on everything. And whatever they're saying, we wish is the opposite. And if we were, we wouldn't be in a food shortage pickle.
Okay. Wouldn't have fuel shortage, wouldn't have any, you know, it just, total attack on this country. John is still out there. John, did you want to chime in on anything real quick? We're getting down to the last few minutes. I figured I'd give you one last shot.
Yeah. Good example of two outstanding globalists that are currently serving on the commission. The January 6th commission that are technically Republicans, but they're really bought and paid for, rhinos, and they are both globalists, are Lynn Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. These people are disgusting.
They are.
And they are treasonous. And everyone should clearly realize they're both, neither one is a true Republican. They're just rhinos. Everything that comes out of their mouth says, now I know for a fact that Lynn Cheney's father was Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney is a huge globalist. And Kinzinger is the same. And they're Republicans in name only, so, and that's why they're actually serving on the Kangaroo Commission.
If I'm not
and
mistaken,
no one.
Isn't Liz Cheney out there asking the Democrats to change their party affiliation to vote for her in the primary or something?
Yes. Her main goal is to make sure she gets reelected, and I don't think you have anybody that's going to vote for her in Wyoming.
No.
So she's trying to get Democrats to vote for her, for God's sake. What Liz Cheney is trying to do is save her representative job.
Liz Cheney is trying to run for the president in 2024. So she's
It would not surprise me a bit that a loser like that would actually have hope of that.
Yes. Harriet Hegman will hopefully, as they say, whoop her ass, because that's what she deserves.
Trump.
Yes.
Right now, Donald Trump is taking down Liz Cheney, just like he took down Hillary Clinton.
Good. That whole family should be taken down.
Yeah.
A bunch of traitors. They sold us out to Chinese. They should all be in jail. America,
Kinzinger is a disgusting loser. That's all I can say about him. He cries at the drop of a hat. He's always staring into the
He's not running.
Distance. Pardon?
He's a loser. He's not running anymore. He's a loser. This is his last hurrah in January.
He just wants to take Trump down, is all he wants.
Yeah, they all want to. They're all begging. You're absolutely right. They all want to. But that's their goal, and that's why it's so important. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who, what they say about Trump. We all know they're lying. And what we have to do is be strong, because at this moment in time, Trump is the only one strong enough to challenge all of them and hold everybody else together. And hopefully he has filed RICO charges against all of them, and hopefully he will be in front of a judge who will not toss it.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest
Which hope. Goes, kind of goes back to some of the quotes I was saying out there with John Adams and the judiciary and stuff like that. And
yeah.
And the exactly. challenges why we had to have a declaration, why we wanted to be separated from King George and all that other stuff. It's just, it truly is interesting when we talk about the Declaration of Independence, why we did it, and when you go down the list, just like we did tonight, go down that list and say, isn't this happening again today? How many of these things are we repeating today, allowing King Biden and company and Obama and whatever else to do the same exact thing to us, and we've allowed the enemies to come in and to take over. It's just enemies / globalist. And, I don't really call communist China, I don't call a globalist in the same sense, but they definitely want to take over the world. They want their own. They're not going to be part of this globalist society of the World Economic Forum and all this stuff. They want to take over everything. They want it to be their world, not a globalist world, not the United Nations. They want it to be them. Kind of thing. So
exactly.
We're dealing with several different things.
They're also part of the United Nations.
Correct.
And the thing is, why the hell are we paying for this?
Yeah. And
because
Ron Paul and Rand Paul and others have said we don't belong to the United Nations. We ought to be out of it.
And why are we continuing to pay for it? What the hell
exactly.
is going on with the Republicans? What Mitt Romney, money, money, money. What the hell is wrong with, well, we know, because they're part of it.
That's right.
They're all part of it as globalists. So they're going to talk to us one way and then turn around and say, oh, stupid Americans, I'll get on my jet and fly around and shut off their power and let them sweat.
Which and goes to the questions. Are you a nationalist or are you a globalist? And prove to me you're
exactly.
a nationalist and not a globalist. Because this is another key question, because you keep funding do you believe we ought to be out of the United Nations? What have you done with all the years you've been in office to get us out of the United Nations? What have you done for that? Nothing. You got to ask these kind of questions, and you got to identify what these people really are. Show their true colors.
As far as I'm concerned, with the exception of about 15 representatives, they all need to be deep six.
Yep.
There should not be one that comes back, period. One incumbent. This should be the year of the non-incumbent, non-party affiliated, and I better be a Republican if I got to get on the ballot kind of year.
Yep. Well, there was a group out there a few years ago. It was Go, Get Out of Our House, and people,
right.
G-O-O-O-H.
That was Keith Flaw, the president, founding. That was Keith Flaw, who is now the founding member of the Florida Citizens Alliance.
There was another guy involved in this one too, out of Texas. The guy who came up with the actual program, the software, and the whole thing. I was part of it at one point. Go. The sad fact is, and we're running out of time here. When you said "get out of our house," most Americans didn't know what that meant. They did not understand. We want to support the nonpartisans or the new people trying to get into this process who were fighting it. And I worked with Keith Law on a lot of this too at the same time. So he was definitely engaged in it too. So, but it was, the whole point was to flush out the garbage, and the average American didn't understand get out of our house. They didn't understand the House of Congress is our house. They didn't understand that. Because I went to a lot of the events. Sad. Anyway, We are literally down to a minute here. Any last words as we wrap it up?
other than happy Independence Day, everyone, and read the Declaration of Independence and act. This is our last chance. We have to act. We have to get the right people in office. God bless you all. God bless America. And thank you so much, Ms. Sally, for what you do and for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Karen. Nathan, I see you out there, but I'm down to just a few seconds left here, so and I can't carry it over tonight. John, Nathan, thank you for calling in earlier. You should have called in a couple minutes ago. And then, John, thank you as well. Everybody, please remember, it's Independence Day. We're celebrating Independence Day, not July 4th. Happy Independence Day. As Karen said, and as we said at the beginning, spend some time and read the Declaration. I guarantee you, your children, your grandchildren, they don't, no one's telling them this in school. It's up to us to share this information with everybody and restore independence. We got to get back to where we were. And so with that being said, talk to you again next week. Please have a good week. And dear Lord, help us. God bless America. Good night, everyone.